This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we'll be continuing our series on young event horses with judge, trainer and owner Debbie Adams. But first, we hear from Valerie Viscarondi from Area 2. Valerie recently won the preliminary division at Warren Decker Horse Trials on Willie Wiggins and then went on to Virginia to finish as reserve champion to wrap up the season. Valerie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're based and what your operation is there?
Yep, definitely. So I am from just south of Annapolis, Maryland, and been there my whole life, pretty much. We are fortunate that we're about an hour and a half away from everything and anything all around Area 2. So I started a business there, Blue Clover Eventing. And we're now based out of a lovely farm, worked our way up to that. It's 130 acres, cross country, a gallop, indoor, outdoor. So feeling pretty fortunate that the horses are ready to do, they're happy and ready to do well at anything that we ask them to do. We like to think that they want for nothing, at the farm. So makes for some pretty happy ponies. And then, I've gone on and done, you know, training, teaching, all that sort of thing. And I recently got my judge's license in the last 5 years. So we're a full operation there.
So you spend your day then teaching, riding your own horse. How many do you compete then, Valerie?
Yeah, well, so the way that the barn is set up, we have anywhere usually 12 to 15 horses. And all the horses are here in full training. So whether it's I'm solely the one riding and competing them, or if I'm working with the horse in addition to their owner. So I might ride the horse 2 or 3 days a week, and the owner has 2 or 3 lessons a week, that sort of thing. And that's exactly the situation that Willie Wiggins is in. He's actually owned by a student of mine who went to college this semester. And I got to continue the ride on him to give him experience at preliminary. They just moved up to prelim in July before she went off to school.
So how long have you been riding him then?
So we purchased him. It was a year and a half ago, and looking for a horse for another student, and saw him, and he was not appropriate for that student, but he was perfect for his current owner. Her name's Alexandra Peterson. And Alex, bless her heart, she and her mother, we went before school at 7 a.m. because someone else was looking at him. And we pretty much bought him right there on the spot before she went into class that morning.
So how old is he then? What breed is he?
Yep, so he's a thoroughbred. He is 8 years old. And he had done some training level eventing, and she had competed at novice through novice and was looking for a partner that would take her up the levels. She actually recently, she's an awesome kid, and she was the East Coast pro junior training champion on him at training level this past year. They had a wonderful season. He's as fancy as they come. And comes with a little bit of the sass and high maintenance. That is the trade-off a lot of times for that. But, you know, it challenged her horsemanship at first. And now they've just absolutely clicked as partners. And then I got to steal him when she went away to school. And he quickly became my favorite horse in the barn this fall for sure.
Well, I can see why, and you obviously have connected with him and been terribly consistent with him too, haven't you? I mean, not just winning there in Warradecca, but other placings too. So what is it about him then, Valerie, that you feel you've hit that sweet note with him and you've got that kind of consistency with him?
Yep, he comes out every day so excited to work. Like, you've never met a horse that loves to do his job more. Like, if he sees flags on cross country. He is going to try somehow to like slither his body between them. So when you have that sort of an attitude and he's a pure athlete, the trainability side of it, you know, kind of in some ways, the harder you work him, the more he focuses and the better he gets. And he's just, you know, through the consistency, we train, you know, 5 or 6 days a week here, short periods, but kind of intense training sessions, and he loves that. And, you know, in the dressage, you have to channel all of that energy into brilliance. And most of the time, I think this fall season, he has been great. He was actually, he should have won another competition, but there was a problem at the water jump, and we ended up doing a little crash and burn there. But as far as he knows, he was winning. And otherwise, he was, I think he's third a couple of places, and he was actually the reserve champion at the Area 2 Championships at the end of the season. So when you're sitting on a horse like that, you go into your dressage warm-up knowing that you have a pretty good chance of, you know, winning from the beginning. It's not a, try to encourage a bad attitude, but, you know, you feel confident on that, that if you go in there and ride like you know how to, you could get rewarded with some pretty fantastic scores.
So you set off on cross country then, knowing that you've got a good score in your back pocket. But what does he like? What does he like at cross country? Is he a bit cocky out there too?
He is. He just thinks that everything is so fun. When he lands off of a jump, he is just looking for whichever one might be next. And he's not naughty. He doesn't pull. But he's just, he's the fastest little horse on his feet. He's not big at all. He's probably 16 hands. And he just is like a little pixie across the ground. I call him Peter Pan. I call him kind of the little boy that never grew up. And that's exactly how he is on cross country. And you can make some of the tightest turns, and you can be so efficient in between your fences, and he just floats and he flies, and you're so fast without putting any effort into it at all.
Now, back in the barn, is he a bit of a rock star, or does he think he is?
He likes to think that he is, most certainly. He has his best friend in the whole world. His name is George, and the two of them are inseparable. That's about the only weakness that he has. If you take his George away, he's very upset. Or when you come in, if George hasn't gone to the same competitions, you know, when the trailer pulls back in, the two of them start talking to each other, and we joke that, you know, they're catching up on the weekend and what all happened. So, but otherwise, he's fairly, you know, prima donna. Like, he has just beautifully perfect white hind socks that are never dirty. He carries his tail like a classy little horse. And he definitely has a little pep to his step as he cruises around.
Now, is he like this in the show jumping? Does he still have that little bit of arrogance when he goes into the show jumping thing? Well, I know what I did last 2 days. This is what I can do today.
Yes, and unfortunately with show jumping, how he's always looking for his next fence, and show jumping is usually right there in front of him. So he has to. I think when his owner first did her first prelim on him, I think they honestly left out in two separate lines, they left out a stride. And he made that look just like it was absolutely fine. And again, for a 16-hand horse, he shouldn't be doing something like that. So the show jumping is the part that he has to stay the most focused about. And it's tricky when you have a horse that's so keen. You need to use that in your favor. I mean, he had to work pretty hard on his jumping form, especially after cross country. He would just want to be quite flat to his fences in the jumping. But he worked really hard on that this fall. Part of the reason why when I got the ride on him, I've, you know, brought a lot of other horses up through the levels. So to me, jumping a prelim-sized jump wasn't as exciting as it was to he and his owner, who were both doing it for the first time. So I could help alter his perspective. He wasn't a good boy just for jumping it. He was a good boy when he jumped it, you know, 2 feet up above the rail and with some shape.
Well, I can imagine then by the time you got to Waradeka with him, you had a little bit of experience. No doubt he was offended by parting company with him along the way.
Yep.
Once he repaired his ego, then you went into Waradeka, I would imagine, feeling quite, you know, consolidated in the partnership and feeling good about that. Talk about the event and how that unfolded for you, Valerie.
Yeah, so he had run, the goal was to get him to the Virginia Horse Trials for the Area 2 Championships. And we had him kind of set up on task, on schedule for that. And then he had this unfortunate event where they weren't reading the water correctly. So all of a sudden, I felt like he did need a more positive experience to go to Waradeka, even though it was going to be so close to competing at Virginia. And, you know, for wear and tear, but also mentally, he's not the horse that needs to go run too often in a row, or he can get a little excited about things. But he was right there in the dressage. I think he was first thing in the morning, and it was a bit chilly. And he was just feeling his stuff, but he went in and just put in a pretty perfect test, really accurate. And then they were kind of running a different schedule that worked to his advantage because they were doing the training 3-day that weekend. You had a little bit of time, and then you went into show jumping. And then you had a little bit of time, and then you went to cross country. So I got to focus on kind of one phase at a time. And he went into the show jumping, and notoriously, that's a pretty difficult arena to show jump in. It gets very small very quickly. And he kept a rhythm, and he was just absolutely, like, springing over his fences. Never thought about getting flat. Never tried to disagree about a distance or a turn. And the next thing I know, I'm going into cross country, I think, you know, kind of well in the lead. So I wanted to change my gears. It's the whole point of this was to be a positive round to get ready for the championships, but you also have a chance to win the competition that you're at. You get a little bit torn about what you're going to do. And Waradeka had done a great job of aerating their footing, so my plan was to just stay on the aeration track, even if there was a different way to go or a shorter distance. I wasn't going to do that to him. I was going to stay on the good footing. And there were some serious questions out on the cross country. I'll say they really stepped it up. There were quite a few little technical things. So I thought that these were all very good things. That the end goal for him is to do a one star. It'll be his owner's first one star. So he needs to learn, you know, how to handle skinnies and turns and going all the direct ways and that sort of thing. And he went out on course and he was just pretty much on fire from the first fence. And the water was pretty much a recreation of the water that he didn't read correctly before. It was a house, so you jump into the water and then go across, jump out, up the bank, and then out and over another house. And so it was a little bit of a nerve-wracking for me. I was pretty sure that the competition, when he had the problem, was a fluke, and I had been pretty open about saying that, so now I felt like the pressure was on to make sure that it really was a fluke. Anyway, I think I sighed a bit of relief once he handled that so well and cruised on, and I think I ended up with some time, and it was a nail-biter of a finish, but he did come out in the lead, you know, by a fraction of a point.
And how was his attitude then after that?
Oh, he's so proud of himself. Absolutely. He definitely wants to do a little prance and dance his whole way back home. And so his owners were there, even though Alex is in school. Her mother was actually able to come to the competition. Waradeka is only about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour from the stable. And so it was just really fun. You know, that was his first win at the level, even though we thought he would have won some time before, and he'd been awfully close, seconds and thirds. So it was just really special that they were there, and it's really fun sending his owner the updates of, you know, pictures of smartphones are amazing now. You know, you can video the round and send it right to her. And I sent her all the pictures of the combination so she could really feel like she was there riding it and show her the line and all that sort of stuff. So it really felt like the whole family and the owners were right there riding with us, which is awesome.
Well, that was a perfect confidence boost for you then, winning that, then going into the Virginia event, the obviously a big goal of the full season for you, where you finished second.
That's right, yep. So he was the reserve champion horse there, and he was wonderful. He was actually, I think, seventh after the dressage, which I admit I had kind of a really crummy attitude about that. When you're used to being first or second after the dressage, I was a little bit taken aback, and I thought, oh man, you know, they were not how I was hoping on ending the season. But good old eventing, it's not over till it's over. And cross country day, he was so good. I went really early. I think I was on the second or third horse out of the box. It was freezing cold, and the course was challenging. Of course, there it's always challenging with the terrain, and he made it so easy. It was so fun, and, you know, like, just everything was effortless. I assumed that it went that way for everyone else, and then much to my surprise, I had moved up to third after cross-country, and then he showed jump clean the next day and jumped his way all the way up to second place.
Well, what a fantastic result for you and for the owner, too, to wrap up the season like that. So is that it for him now until the spring?
Yep, that's it, and she will be home. Good old college. You know, you have off like the entire winter for your winter break. So she'll be back and, you know, confident that he has more experience now and that she knows that he can do it all and do it very correctly. And then we'll go to Aiken for the winter. And the goal would be that they'll do a one-star in the spring, hopefully back at Virginia. Luckily, he likes it there. So.
Well, yes, it's a lucky event for you, but you're going to miss riding him, though, Valerie.
I know. It is sad but true, but you know what? We have to be able to share. So
really, share the pleasure of little Willie Wiggins. He really is a character. I'm sure you both thoroughly enjoy riding him, and what a fantastic partnership that you've had. I'm sure you're probably ready and waiting when she needs to go back to school so you can take over again.
That's right. I think that we're going to have to fight for it a little bit, right?
Wonderful. What a great story, Valerie. And you head to Aiken, as you said, for the winter with how many?
Yep. So we shut down the barn here in Maryland and take everyone with us. So it'll be 15 horses that we head to Aiken with. And we'll be there through the fork. And then hopefully by the time we come home, it's no more snow and all sunshine. So that's what we aim for every year, at least.
That is the plan. Well, a wonderful way to end the season there with Willie Wiggins. Congratulations again on such a successful partnership, albeit brief, but more to come from Willie Wiggins in the future with either
Absolutely.
Of you, I'm sure. Well, terrific. Well, again, congratulations. And thank you for coming on the program and sharing your story, Valerie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And Debbie Adams joins us now for the second part in this series of Young Event Horses, how to find a horse, what to do when you first visit them. So many aspects to this, Debbie.
Chris, yes, there are a lot of aspects. It's an amazing process to try and find the horses and where to look for them. It can take hours and hours of research to try and find what you're looking for.
Well, we did some things at that first visit to the horse in terms of, you know, what to look for when you first meet. But there's another component, I believe, to that in terms of the exercises that you would ask of that horse. It's combinations is something that you always include. You always ask them to do some of that, don't you?
Yes, I do. I mean, I don't expect them to understand a lot because I tend to look at four-year-olds. That's my favorite age to buy. Because they're old enough that I can test them and do something with them, but young enough that they're affordable and that my training's going to take them the direction I want them to go. So I do jump them. I try to do some type of combination. If they're incredibly green, it might just be a three stride. I prefer to do something that's just a one stride so I can feel their reaction, their footwork, their balance after the fence and how they prepare for the next effort. That tells me a lot about the horse that I'm going to have to work with cross country. And the other thing I really like to do is make sure that I can turn after the fence, which with young horses can be quite tricky. And I don't expect them to turn quickly. I just want to feel their reaction and if they're moving forward to the bridle and if I can touch them and if you can get the leg and the hand on and how they're going to handle the balance of the turn. And I try to have a turn towards the fence too, which will tell you a lot about their elasticity and their ability to adjust in the future.
Okay, some good pointers there then. Make sure you've got the athlete that you're looking for. Several other components, Debbie, not least of all, insurance, shipping, vetting. Which of these would you like to tackle first?
Well, I think vetting's probably the biggest topic. I do a very extensive vetting, which tends to be quite expensive, but I'd rather have that peace of mind. I want to know what that horse has inside. So even if he's four and he hasn't done much, I still do a total vetting, you know, the eyes, the wind, the heart, respiratory, but I also do complete x-rays, front and hind feet, ankles, hocks, stifles, so that I have a baseline. Say he's all perfect, I have my baseline for when I'm schooling him and developing him, and if there's a future buyer in the works, or if I'm prepping him for a 3-day and something doesn't feel right, I have those x-rays to go back to compare to whatever the current one would be for whatever reason.
Now, what would you do if you found a horse overseas?
I still do a very extensive set of vetting. And because you can do digital x-rays now, it's so easy to have your x-rays sent to your own vet that you work with all the time. So I get my x-rays sent to one of the vets here in the States that I use. I just purchased a horse in Texas last week and had those x-rays sent up here. I also did photographs. Like, I'll take photographs of the horse and his legs and angles. If there's any question and I want to get an opinion from my farrier as well as my vet.
Now, what about selecting the vet overseas, though, Deb? Obviously, not traveling your own vet. Some do, but maybe you don't.
I have been very lucky that the horses I've been flying overseas, I've dealt with through agents. I have not gone over on my own and wandered around in somebody's stable and yard. Excuse me. I always have an agent. So they help me select a vet that they're very comfortable with.
Okay, good point there. So once you've got those x-rays, then you've got the full workup of the horse, the decision is down to you. Do you get a second opinion at all? Or, you know, is this something you just go on the evidence that you have and your experience and instinct of it making the right choice? Even if there are little discrepancies there in the vetting that you're not quite happy about, but you're willing to take a chance.
I haven't gone to a second American vet. Like, I'll take the input from the European vet, which so far in the past has been quite parallel with who I work with here in the States. But I'm lucky that I do a lot of my work with Brendan Furlong, and he does know the sport and he knows what the demands are. So I'm very comfortable with him or anybody in his practice to direct me in staying away from a problem or potential problem or type of angle or foot or whatever. So I have not gone for a second opinion. If I find that I have to talk myself into the horse for some reason, I don't take it. Like, if I'm not absolutely in love with the horse and the vet's not in love with how he looks, I leave it. I do not talk myself into taking something, hoping that I'm going to change it. I want to develop a horse. I don't expect to change it.
Right. The other question is insurance.
I am not a big insurer of horses. I think it's a smart move for people that own horses and have one or two so that they can have medical insurance. I find carrying a big policy on sports horses is so expensive that it's hard for me to do. I might insure them for this short time to bring them home because they're flying and they're in transit on strange trucks. And insurance is quite easy to set up that way.
Okay, so arranging the shipping then, wherever it is in the world, let's take an example of domestic shipping and then look at international.
Well, if it's not too far away, I go ship them myself because I'm quite happy to do that. But if it's horse of some distance, there are a tremendous number of shippers around. They are very, I've been lucky, they're very reliable, wonderful, comfortable rigs. A lot of them have those big air ride vans now. I would say you could probably estimate, like on a long trip in the States, it'll run you about $1 a mile, and that's just a rough gauge. It depends if there's a lot of other horses on the van or you're the only one, but roughly $1 a mile will get your horse back to you.
Okay.
And there are some wonderful agents out there that you can call. They're like travel agents that will do the legwork. I use Horse Flight a lot, and they'll do the legwork of calling all the shippers, and it doesn't make my cost anymore. So they will find out who's coming, how quickly the horse can get there, how many stops it'll make, because I'm not real interested in having my horse in the van for a long time or stopping at a lot of barns. I think that can be quite tiring for them. I like them to get here as directly as I can afford.
Okay. And having figured that out, you've got him home. I mean, there must be obviously a settling in period for a young horse. What would you look at then? And also the signs of potential shipping fever emerging, because that can sometimes take days, can't it?
Yes, it can. When he first arrives, you, of course, put him in the stall and leave him alone. You give him hay and water and just let him settle. I'm quite careful to stable him next to a calm horse that, in case they're excited, this one won't key in on it, that they have a quiet stablemate next to them. And I keep an eye on him very closely for a couple days. I will take his temperature within that first hour that he's there, and I'll take it a couple times in the first 24 hours to make sure that he doesn't get shipping fevers or even just spikes of fever for a couple days, like just a reaction to traveling, like we get a little cold or something like that. I just give them hay to start with, a plain grass or Timothy hay. I don't want anything rich. I don't want to give them grain. I just want to let their system settle. This time of year, to encourage them to drink, it's kind of cold here in New Jersey this morning, so I'll make sure that I have a little bit of warm water to offer them. I find that most horses really like warm water and they'll drink more of it.
Okay. And then in terms of turning him out, would you do that, you know, within a few days, or just hand graze them? Or do you just take it as it comes, you know, judge how the temperament is and whether they would be settled to do that? And do you do that alone or with maybe an old horse that would settle them quicker?
I definitely have another horse around with them, whatever it is we're doing. Since I have tried them someplace, wherever they were living before, I have a bit of a feeling of the temperament. I don't tend to turn them out right away. I will hand walk them. Then I will lunge them a little bit. And then I usually ride them before I turn them out. Because I'm not buying anything that's so green and young that I think it's going to be like tough to ride. And I'd rather control his exercise. So I tend to turn them out after I ride them. It doesn't make my ride easier, but it makes it safer for them that they don't run around and hurt themselves and pull a shoe and twist something. So I tend to ride them first.
Now, what if you get a horse home who has been vetted and there's no vices or declared vices, but then you see something that you didn't anticipate? What would you do in that scenario? Say he weaves, and that was not declared, and he didn't do it at home, but he starts weaving.
Oh my God, that would just make me crazy. Oh, I hope that never happens to me. But yeah, I guess it can happen.
It can happen. I speak from experience. Yeah. It can happen because of the anxiety of a young horse.
That would be quite bomb. I mean, all the horses I have purchased, I've spent quite a bit of time with them in the stable. When I look at them to buy, I look at them more than once in the stall. I look at the insides of the stalls to see if there's kick marks, bite marks, settings disturbed. So I've kind of watched them very closely before I've had them move in with me. So hopefully I'll never have to answer that question. Because once he's yours. I mean, there are some people that sell, and you've got it in your contract that if a vice comes up, you can return them. But returning one to Europe's not easy.
Well, hopefully it doesn't happen. Well, there's a lot more to of course, in finding that young event horse. Contracts is another thing. Well, I think we'll cover that in the next episode, Deb. You know, having the contract, because that's critical, of course, to all of this process. Why don't we visit that next time here in this series on young event horses?
Okay, and then we'll tack him up and we'll ride him next time.
All right. Thank you so much, Deb.
Thank you.
And we'll continue this series with Debbie on next week's episode. Don't forget to check the website for all the latest updates, news about convention, the list of speakers and presentations, and also your registration opportunity right online there for this year's convention, which will take place at the Omni Shoreham Hotel and Resort in Washington, D.C. from December the 2nd through the 6th. That's it for this week's program. Don't forget to keep up with us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.